Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200. Welcome to Rock Solid Families Podcast. This is Merle Hutchinson alongside my lovely wife, Linda Hutchinson. Linda, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Kids are in school. It's getting a little cool in the air. I know you don't like that, but I love it.
Yeah, but it's still summer.
Technically, it is summer.
It's still summer.
Right.
So we're going to keep riding it as long as we can. I like that summer part. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Are you ready for today?
Absolutely. I'd say today's talk is one we really got to emphasize the importance of because we're talking about the sex talk, the right talk at the right time. And this week we're really talking about our school age kids, right? Mm-hmm. And with all that our kids are experiencing, it is so different than when you and I were in elementary school, right?
Or intermediate school.
And so we really have to approach it differently than our parents did. We have to not put our head in the sand and pretend like this is not happening because it is.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind here about the elementary school years and as we're referring to it is sex, the right talk at the mm-hmm. right time. What we're talking about is how do we talk with our kids in the time that they are in their yep. life? And yep. so these what we're calling school age or elementary, early, middle school, like these years, I kind of think of this as the exposure period.
Yeah.
Like this is that time where your kids are going to get their first look, their mm-hmm. first hear of different things that are related to sex. And sometimes it invokes a silly laugh. Sometimes it invokes, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
right?
Shock.
But so the reason why that's important is because first time experiences will come with lasting memories oftentimes.
Yeah. So I can ask you a question. How about your exposure?
That's not in our notes.
Your exposure period. Because, for instance, mine,
whoa.
Hang on, I remember very clearly in elementary school, two very impactful things for me when it comes to the right talk at the right time. It did not come from my parents. Mm-hmm. One of them was my mom was a nurse, and I found her nursing book downstairs, big, thick nursing book. Mm-hmm. And there were pictures of body parts and conditions and privates. And I'm like shocked because, again, mm-hmm. this is before internet, right? So like this is how I was exposed to male body parts and disformities mm-hmm. and things like that. And I remember thinking, holy cow, that is scary, right? Mm-hmm. And I was afraid to talk to my mom about it. Mm-hmm. I just kind of looked at it. And the second thing was, I remember my next door neighbor, my best friend, telling me that babies came out of your belly button. And that's why it kind of looked stretchy. And I believed her because no one was telling me. And so if Nika said it, it was right.
Mm. I didn't really have a first exposure until I was about 25. None of that ever
occurred. Let's get back
to
the defense mechanisms that we did a couple weeks ago.
No, so actually one of the very first times I remember, so we used to walk to school, and I was the youngest kid in our group that we hung out with. So there were guys a year and 2 years older than me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was just that young, impressionable kid, and we used to walk to school. And when the weather was nice, we took a shortcut, and a shortcut meant going through the cemetery and then back through some woods.
That seems creepy.
Yeah. Well, it was, yeah, I mean, that part was fine with us. But one of the older guys said, guys, let's walk home through the cemetery. I want to show you something.
Uh-oh.
And we're like, yeah, sure. Right.
What? You got
and
some
we walked through
evidence?
And here His older brothers had stashed, I don't know, 5 or 6 Playboy books back in the cemetery.
Oh, gosh. And, that's a bad picture.
I would like to tell you that I got on my knees and I prayed and I asked for protection, but instead I just started looking at the books like all the other guys. And, and of course, you know, it kind of reminds me of something like Stand Alone or
Stand By Me
or whatever the movie, like, you know. But so that was one of the very first. Others, I don't know. Then it started from there, like just conversation.
Yeah.
And it was just within that group of guys, none of it ill intended, but just thought it was borderline funny.
Exposure, right? Yeah, yeah. Like you're learning and hearing things for the very first time, and it's not coming from your parents, and it's not, you know, honest truth or correct terminology. It is slang, and it is, you know, like wrong, like my friend's, my friend's way of the baby's coming out. So, you know, this is the time that parents start to put their head in the sands, sand and are naive to think that their kids aren't being exposed. And the reality is it is near to impossible to keep them from being exposed. And so you've got to get ahead of it and decide, okay, I want my children to learn the right thing at the right time and hear it from us instead of the kid down the street.
And I think there's appropriate protection from exposure. But overprotection is not nearly as valuable as giving them the tools to know what to deal with. So prompting them and teaching them ahead of the game to say, okay, guys, you know, and again, sometimes your kids aren't ready to have those talks, but that's part of your job as a parent to be kind of knowing what they're ready for and to start prompting them with some of these kind of talks. So anyway, let's thank our sponsors and then let's get into how do we handle our kids through
Part
this exposure period, the elementary, middle school years.
The right talk at the right time.
I'd like to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction for both being sponsors of the Rock Solid Families podcast. So for all your landscape and construction needs, contact those companies. Also, guys, if you're doing any kind of business with them or you're in the tri-state area and you happen to run into them and you heard that they were advertised on Rock Solid Families, why don't you just say, hey, I heard your advertisement on Rock Solid Radio and thank you for sponsoring that show. Because, you know, these guys, they don't actually survive off of our advertisements, okay? They do this as a basically a gesture to say, we want stronger communities and we know that Rock Solid Families is supporting that. So we want to support them.
And we hope that you would walk alongside us in this mission and partner with us, whether it be through prayer, whether it be sharing the shows, giving us a 5-star rating, because that really knocks us up on the search engines, but also your financial gifts. You know, we did hire a new coach that takes resources, and we want to do more of this. We want to do more programming and resourcing and coaching. And so if you have a business and you'd like to partner with us as a sponsor or give a one-time gift or a recurring gift, we would love to have you as we really try to make this a mainstream conversation about what does healthy look like? How do we honor the Lord in our families, in our marriage, in our lives? And part of that is this whole conversation in our families about sex.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do a quick recap of part one, just so if you didn't listen to part one of sex, right talk, right time, then we're going to encourage you to go back to that. And even if you don't have kids in that age group, as we talked about, you know, if you miss something there, you could do very well by yourself and your kids to go back and make sure you touch on some of those things in terms of, man, you know, I just never really taught my kids about God's design for nature and his creation and how it will procreate, how that actually goes. I mean, it's God designed. So that's a lot of what part one was about, and just God's intentions and talking about mommies and daddies and nurturing and all of these different things. And so that's a lot of what part one was about. But now we're going into part two.
Yeah. And we have to really, like you said, hon, I'm so glad you mentioned that. If we've left out part one in our teaching and in our mothering and fathering to our children, then we really leave them ill-equipped to handle some of the things that are going to come in season two and three. And so please, please listen to season one or part one of that show and really build off of that, because now our kiddos are starting to interact socially. They're going to school. They're having friends over, and they're being exposed. They're doing schoolwork on a Chromebook and they're using the internet. And so there's going to be a natural exposure there that we've really, and I know you didn't mean to say this, but I want to make it clear. We're not saying that you just sit your kid down in the elementary school and watch an R-rated movie with them to expose them.
No, I did not say that. No.
But, you know, we're saying that it's going to happen. They're going to hear things on the bus or they're going to, you know, search the wrong thing and something's going to pop up. And so are you the person they turn to when they hear things or see things that they don't understand or they question, right?
Yeah. So in part two, I want to think, just bear with me, guys, okay? This is where my brain goes sometimes.
You and your metaphors.
Yeah, they're good. They're just good.
This one's an interesting one. Yeah,
well, I want you to think of your kid as a cucumber. Right. And so here you go. You know, you put this seed in and it's in your garden and it starts to grow and it's got viney stuff all over and these leaves all over and it starts to grow into this little thing. And you're like, are we going to be able to eat cucumber. That someday? And it grows into a cucumber. Okay. And man, you pick that cucumber and you go, man, this is a fresh cucumber that would be great on a salad. Okay. But now there are options. Mm. And the options are, well, we could immerse this cucumber in something. We could immerse it into a sour, salty brine, and we could turn it into a sour pickle. We could immerse it into a sweet brine and turn it into a sweet pickle. And the point being is, once you start immersing that fresh cucumber into some other environment, you can't get it out of it. You can't unpickle the pickle, okay? And so this is what the world, this is what the culture does to our kids. And as, hun, you were just talking about, my kids are now going to be hopping on school buses and walking through hallways and talking to kids. And it's this immersion into things that we might not be able to undo.
Yeah.
And it's going to change the flavor of our child.
Now, we could have some parents right now listening that homeschool their children because they're saying, no, because I'm going to protect them from that. Okay. Right. And I in so many ways agree because we've gotten really scary things out there. But you still want them to have social interaction, right? Mm-hmm. They may play on a T-ball team. They may swim on a swim team. They may do American Heritage Girls or Boy Scouts. I mean, there's going to be places, hopefully. You're not going to lock them in a room and, you know, that's like fresh cucumber that you're just going to hold on to. And it eventually it's going to rot if it doesn't, you know, get some kind of, you know, support. So we want your kids to thrive. We don't want to hide them under a bushel. We want to let them shine, but that does take some risk.
Yeah. So let's get into how we can help with just some suggestions, encouragement of advice.
The right talk at the right time.
Yeah. And so guys, at this age, it is not too early to be talking to your kids, okay? And so from the get-go, I mean, and it's as biblical as can be. I mean, you had even in Proverbs, in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 in those chapters, you've got Solomon talking to his son about, hey, these are some things you should caution yourself with, right? And it's, you know, everything from being with prostitutes and how he spends his time and what he looks at. And so these are just fair warnings like, hey, I'm telling you that if you saturate yourself with this stuff, it's not going to come out well. Okay. Yeah. And so this is a time, guys, where we are going to first ask you, you better know what long-term intentions you have for your kids. In other words, like I've got this fresh cucumber. What is my intention for it? Is the intention I just want it to be on a garden salad? Or is my intention for it to be into seed and plant it back in the garden? Or is it intended to be a sour pickle or a sweet pickle? Like before you even get started, what is your intention? And so think about that with your kids versus just randomly going, I don't know, whatever happens, happens. And so right in these elementary years, this is important for you and your spouse to say, all right, we want to make sure right now that our kids get this sort of understanding about who they are in God's eyes, okay, and what they were created to be, all right? And I can't leave this up to chance. The number of kids that grow up going, I don't really know what my purpose is, you know, that in large part, listen, no kid knows exactly what they want to do from the get-go, but they need to at least know that they're valuable in God's eyes. And this is where this talk starts.
Yeah. And so that would really be part one, those early years. I mean, that's where the conversation happens with the creation and your identity and your purpose. And so we're building off of that. So here's the first thing we say in this season of elementary years, and that is you need to use proper terminology and language, okay? Your children are going to take as seriously as you do about our bodies and about sexuality and about how we treat one another. And so if you're using slang, if you're joking about it, if you're using it inappropriately, your children are going to pick up on that. And so it's really important that you speak age appropriately, but use serious language. And again, you don't have to talk about it as taboo. It's a beautiful thing that God created in the right context of the marriage bed. And that's where we have to talk about it as well and make sure they know, because they're going to see exposure of so many different options and alternatives. But we want to speak appropriate terminology and language.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the next side of that, and this lacks, or I won't say just lacks, it is very looked at very differently in many different homes.
Yeah.
And this is where at these elementary ages where boys and girls are starting to recognize that there is a difference between boys and girls. And so this is where us as parents really want to start talking and teaching about modesty, about protecting your own private parts, and about protecting and being aware of those with others. And so this is when we're actually having talks at these early elementary ages of, you know, your private parts are yours, and you're not to allow other people to touch them without the, you know, your parents present, and you're not to touch others, okay? And so this whole modesty thing. And so this is something to even be modeled around the house. Again, it's not that we're freaking out. Like if, you know, mom walks out of the shower, she doesn't need to yell and scream at the kids. Like, but she needs to learn to start, you know, maybe when the kids were a baby and they were, she was taking a shower and the kids were just in on the bedroom floor there, you know, they were one. Okay. So, but now these kids are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And so mom walking around naked is not necessarily helping these kids realize that this is a protected area.
Yeah. And you know, it's important to understand that you may have pure intentions and your children may think it's innocent and fun, but what's the creepy neighbor next door looking at? You know, what's the cousin thinking? And so you really want to model modesty. You want to really teach and preach modesty. And I'm just going to call out a lot of the moms who are living their life through their young daughter, through cheer and dance and gymnastics. And we are really allowing the world to sexualize our young girls, where they're doing booty dances and they're having midriffs and we've got 10 pounds of makeup on and we've got halter tops on. And we are really creating this generation of over-sexualized children. And I just need to warn parents, like, that doesn't end well. When you've got a second grader, and again, they're not going to think anything of it.
Right. They're following your lead.
They're following your lead. But if, and I know that the coaches and the leaders are kind of pursuing this and prompting this and encouraging this, but you as a parent get to decide, my child's not going to do that. They're not going to do that dance. They're not going to wear that costume. You get to decide. In our family, modesty is going to be something we value.
Guys, I want you to think about this. So I mean, some of you are out there and you might think, well, you know, Maryland are just being prudish. Prudish versus prudent in terms of how I want my kid to be seen and to see others. And so we're talking about a long-term benefit. You know, even when I was a kid, where the gun laws were much more relaxed, my dad got me a gun, and we spent weekend after weekend out at our farm, and he taught me how to handle that gun and shoot that gun and the rules of that gun. And so, like, it wasn't like I would just go in the house and go grab my gun and go out. No, I mean, for that first year or so, I mean, it was permission. It was under dad's supervision, because he really – he didn't just teach me. He then later wanted to see, well, is he going to follow and do things right before I trust
him? There's
a
respect there for that gun.
Yeah. And so the same thing goes. It might be cute and fun to see our young girls, you know, dressed up with all the makeup. And listen, we get it. We know what that's about. But we also are giving our girls this tool that they don't really know how to use. And they start to think that it's how they become accepted. It's how they get people to clap for them. And so the next thing you know, they are starting to identify. Okay, hear what we're saying here, because identity is a big deal. And they're identifying, I am pretty, I get affirmed and basically supported when I look this way. And right off the bat, we're setting the stage. Now, again, not every girl is going to have problems with it, but we're opening the door for it.
Yeah, for sure. Another one that we want to concern parents with, or make parents aware, is that indoctrination that our media, our culture is really trying to suck our children into. You know, there used to be safe shows that we could let our kids watch. And in even Disney, it's hard to find safe shows. You know, I think of the Barbie movie, that there was a huge controversy about, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're seeing the Barbie movie. And people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you have an issue with it. But again, Barbie was a toy, a child's toy, that now is a PG-13 movie. Don't you see a problem with that? And of course, all the little girls are flocking to this movie because it's about Barbie. But I've heard so many parents say, oh, it'll go over their head. Why is it that we have to have a movie that has to go over their head? It should be aligned with that's appropriate for a child, but not when it's PG-13, but it's labeled a Barbie movie.
Yeah, so it's misleading.
Yes.
And so again, we're not saying the movie's good or bad. What we're saying is your 8-year-old is not ready to see it because it's basically giving them a gun and they don't quite know how to use that yet, okay? And so it's way out there in front of where they're ready to be.
Yeah, and that's why when you hand your child your phone at the doctor's office and let them for 2 hours. I mean, we've had this in our counseling office where a child is there because they don't have childcare and they're watching something for an hour and you don't even know what they're watching. And so it's like, you got to be really careful because just commercials can pop up and shows pop up that, you know, you have no idea what's being in there.
You know, we have a very sexualized culture. And the reason for that is because sex sells. So whenever you put money in the mix, you know, you and all of your ways could try to defend that. But at the end of the day, people are going to try to make money off of these things. And so, you know, advertisement and all of these things, your kids are going to be exposed to that. And so, again, we're not going to lock them in a room. We're not going to do those things. But you know, when you see something that comes on that is against your family values, or you know that your kid's not ready, then it's okay to discern and even have judgment on it. You're not judging the person in it. You're saying, yeah, you see what she's wearing there? Around here, we just don't think that that's appropriate.
Or we're going to turn it off because it's not right for our house. You're allowed to do that. And yes, they're going to push back. They're going to yell and scream and throw a temper tantrum if they're not used to you doing that. But it's your right and your job as a parent. Here's another one, hon, we're guilty of.
Yeah, again, like all of these things start with good and usually I'll say fun intentions.
Yeah, fun intentions.
And so the one I think you're getting ready to talk about is like the date talk, boyfriend, girlfriend, right?
Yeah, in elementary school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think it's something that we talk about even as adults. Hey, who was your first girlfriend? Who was your first boyfriend? And it's like, well, when I was in third grade, I
crush on.
And so we kind of think it's cute. And it is kind of fun to just see, because boys and girls, even though some people like to think that there's no such thing as sex or, you know, sexual identity, boys and girls recognize that boys are different than girls. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're intrigued by it. And so off the get-go, they start this sort of wondering, especially it starts in third grade and by fourth grade, it's full blown. And trust me, I know that's where I spent my life. Okay. I never got out. And so that's when you would start to hear a little mumbling of boyfriend, girlfriend, third grade. And then by fourth grade, they're starting to say, so-and-so is going with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And crazy. So here's where it gets tricky, okay? Kids are going to be kind of kids in those situations and have a natural wonder. But parents, we have to be really careful, because when we start to advocate for this, mm-hmm. when we start to have fun with it,
or encourage it,
we have not given them the tools yet to know how to handle. This is where a lot of the nasty gossip comes from. Mm. This is where you start, because lo and behold, the boy said something that hurts your little girl. And now you're wondering, well, you never gave her the tools.
Or pictures start to be sent. So as parents, we really have to curb that, you know, like you said, temptation to kind of joke about it or laugh about it, and really try to, when our kiddos came in our home, our youngest three, they were 11, 10, and 7, and they knew right away, because they were already having like boyfriend, girlfriend talks. Right. And we said, hey, guys, you know, you can have friends, but you're not allowed to date till you're 16. We started that conversation really early. So they knew you could like this kid or have a crush on this boy, but you're not going on any date. I'm not dropping you off at the movies as an 11-year-old to go out with another 11-year-old. Like, that's just ridiculous. I had a client recently whose child went to an 8th grade dance and had sex. The first time that she was ever allowed to go with her friends and she had sex. And so it's like, you really want to guard your child from what is out there and exposed as, you know, healthy wise, as long as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I know that that might seem like an extreme, and let's pray that it is an extreme. Mm-hmm. But the idea that that sort of thing happens more and more frequently is talking about how, as a culture, we become more and more desensitized and we drop down our guard to what the world might be throwing at us. So I think that's kind of where that's getting at.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about some things that we want to be careful not to do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about some things here that we can do to help our kids in these elementary age years. Okay.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the first things that we've talked about before, but a reminder of their identity is a child of God.
Yeah.
Okay. Period. They're not to identify just as a boy or just as a girl or just as a little football player or a 4th grader. They are a child of God. And by elevating the child of God, then that means we take care of what God has made. And so now we are, this is a much more precious thing, this person that I am.
I love that.
That I need to take care of. And so the idea that we are talking, you know, you hear the phrase, you know, God don't make junk. And the idea that you actually kind of live with that as a backdrop. Like, would you be okay if you got your kid a brand new bike and he just left it out in the rain and to get backed over by the car and all that stuff? You'd be like, oh, wait a minute, you take care of. And so right away, when you understand that you are a child of God and you are a gift of God, then there comes a responsibility to start to begin to take care of that.
Yeah. And to protect it and realize that he created you and he didn't make mistakes. And so to really start to find what is your purpose. And again, it doesn't have to be what your career is. Our purpose is to glorify God through our words and our actions and our attitude. And so as mom and dad, our job is to model that, to teach that, and to show them the design of masculine roles and feminine roles and understand the difference, not just in physical autonomy, but roles and how God designed us and wired us differently. You know, God created men to be the protectors and the woman to be the nurturers. And so that's okay. It is okay that we're different, that God created us that way.
I mean, it's the celebration of the difference that allows us to actually create what God intends in a family. And so I think that there's a lot of people here in the last 20 or 30 years that have tried to diminish the importance of masculine and feminine, and we can all roll it into one. And it's like, no, I mean, these are traits that have, by and large, come out specific to the genders. Now, here's where it gets fuzzy. And so let's talk about how we deal with this. Sometimes we get a male that acts more effeminate, and we get a female that acts more, what we would refer to as tomboy, more masculine, okay? So the gender behaviors are really on a spectrum. In other words, not every girl is a Barbie girl, and not every guy is a G.I. Joe, okay?
G.I. Joe.
You remember G.I. Joes?
I do remember G.I. Joe.
Okay. And so, and that's not the intention, okay? Those are just little stereotypes of somewhere in the center spot. Mm. And so when your kids falls out of or out towards the edges of the spectrum, it doesn't make them not a boy or not a girl. It just means the spectrum is wide. Mm-hmm. And so they still come with the gifts and the purpose of, well, I'm a child of God. And so how am I going mm-hmm. to use the body mm-hmm. that I have mm-hmm. to serve God? I'm not yeah. changing the body that I have. And so this mm-hmm. is so important, guys, that we don't all of a sudden look at our child and say, you were wrongly made. You're a boy that should have been a girl. Mm. I mean, I want you to really think of how confusing, guys, how confusing that is. Not only did it confuse your kids, but it also confused mm-hmm. them on the whole concept of God. Well, mm-hmm. why would God screw up? Mm-hmm. And so now we say there must not be a God. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing is just a contaminant of mm-hmm. how God made life. And so what we do is we say, hey, we honor and love mm-hmm. the spectrum. The spectrum is good.
Mm-hmm. And okay? God loves you just the way
yeah.
you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this kind of goes with it too, hon. And that's us as parents have to demonstrate respect for the opposite sex. Mm. And so I'm going to especially talk to the men, because a lot of times our men will, and I have this a lot coming in my office, where they're very chauvinistic. They talk down to their women. They kind of put them in their place. And so we teach our girls like that's okay. And that's what I expect or deserve. And so we really need to model that respect. And it goes the other way too. I have women who talk down to their husbands or treat them like a child. And mm-hmm. so we want to respect and show that honor toward our spouse and how to love each other, so that your children grow up knowing that it's, you know, men aren't buffoons and women aren't stupid. It's mm-hmm. it's literally a respect for one another, and we treat them with kindness and love.
Yeah, hon, I do, not to push back, because I agree with you completely, but I do want to have a pocket mm-hmm. of insert with the idea that really, in most of my adult lifetime, we have seen the male turn into the buffoon. Mm-hmm. And so what that is really disrespectful to God's creation. Yeah. And so what we do is what you just said, hon. We honor the other sex, the other gender. We honor it by respecting mm-hmm. it and showing that you desire a need for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, and you can do that, guys, by just talking about those roles that we mm-hmm. talked about earlier. Like, well, the reason why dad is so important in this house, because this is what dad provides to us. This yeah. is what, you know, by his making, this is what he does for us. The reason why mom is so important is because this is what mom brings to us that I as dad mm-hmm. can't do. And so right away, these kids start to realize there is value in each of the genders.
A lot of the research has pointed to some early childhood trauma mm-hmm. for children who are experiencing gender confusion. And sometimes it's at the hands of someone they trusted and loved, like a father or a sibling. And because of that confusion, like mm-hmm. he's my dad, he was supposed to protect me and love me, and instead he abused me, that creates this real hard confusion of who do I trust? Who mm-hmm. should I love? And that's where a lot of the underlying mental health issues come from. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's not their fault, but it's trauma, because it's not the way God designed. It's not the way God wants for us. And so we have to get to the root of that problem, not just change the gender and let them try to figure it out. They're just going to be more and more confused and depressed because we've never dealt with the wound, the trauma that started it all.
Little side note on that. The best teacher for a young boy is a strong, healthy male teacher when yes. we're talking about how to teach a boy to become a man. The best teacher for a girl is a strong and healthy female teaching, okay? And so that's why these things are extremely important. And, and you talk about the wounds, and so oftentimes the wounds are created by an unhealthy male mm-hmm. who does do something that hurts. And mm-hmm. so right away, the image is, you know what, men are bad or whatever, you know? And so that's mm-hmm. why we do strong dads here. Mm-hmm. That's why we talk about, you know, like we have to have these strong, God-identified men and women mm-hmm. so that we can teach that next generation. And, yeah. and so when we see that go south on us, we have to say, okay, where did we screw up in the teaching?
Yeah, hon, I just want to brag on you for a second because I work with so many couples and families that have had no father role, no father figure in their life. And you have really filled in that gap. And a lot of the men have leaned on you and turned to you and asked you for help. And you really have modeled for them a healthy male figure. And I've had several women come back to me saying, I'm so thankful for Merle that that in that void of her husband's life or son's life that you have stepped in. And so we need that. And we can be that to somebody. So if you're listening and you come from healthy and you feel like you're healthy, there, look around. There's someone around you that needs to see healthy and needs to be mentored. And so just, you know, take them to lunch, invite them to a Bible study, go for a drive, invite them to work, you know, whatever it is that you can do to walk alongside somebody and help them see this.
Yeah. Teach your boys, you know, one of the things that we talk about in our own home, because we have four boys and one girl, and, you know, I've looked very strongly at my boys and said, hey, you know, I'm, by the way, I'm not perfect, okay? and so, but the idea here is when you see that your boys are behaving in a way that would be hurtful or rude to a female, like you as the father, you call that out. Son, you don't treat any woman ever like that. You are to honor and respect them. And so I just think that that's so important. And hun, to your point, every guy that you're talking about, and I can even use the word every. I mean, you might find that crazy, weird exception, but pretty much these guys that come into me that have been what some of the world might say toxic males,
or abusive,
are because when I ask them, tell me about your dad's story, it's not there. It's falling apart, and so this is if we're going to start this, guys, in the elementary years. This is when I'm going to start teaching my boys about what the vision of manhood looks like from a God perspective. And that's why it's got to start at the elementary years. Because really, if you don't start it then, man, once the hormones start flying and the senior year is coming, Katie bar the door.
Yeah. Finally, teaching your children to discern between what his word, God's word teaches and what the world is teaching is super important. And so that's when you mentioned about watching a show and kind of talking through the show. That's why co-viewing is so important. Gaming, you know, we talk about what are our kids playing on the screens. You know, if you are not familiar with what games are playing and what the words are using and what they're exposed to, then you're missing out on teaching opportunities. So we have watched shows before, which are PG-13 or even R now, because we have adult children, where we will talk about what they saw and what was right or wrong about that. Opportunities to show them this is what God's word says.
Yeah, great point, hon. I think about that, like, you know, when the kids are really young and they see something that contradicts God's word, you can say, you don't do that, but you might not say you don't do that because God's word, because they quite don't understand God's word yet. You can say, we don't do that because I'm telling you not to do that. But in those elementary years, you can't hang it on you because they start to see that you're not very perfect yourself. And so that's when you can really start saying, well, guys, we don't do that because let's read this parable here. Let's read this story. Let's read this part of the Bible. See where he's talking about this particular behavior that we just saw in that movie. So that's God's word saying it. And so I'm trying to be obedient. We talked about that in part one, the idea that I'm starting to teach my kids that it's not because I said so. It's because I'm trying to be obedient to the creator of all. And so this is really, in these elementary years, guys, this is where you can start bringing it with your kids.
So our challenge, where have you allowed your elementary age kids to get exposed to a high level of sexuality? Is it in their modesty? It is in what they view. Is it who they're hanging around? What should you do to make your kids so that they're educated in God's way and protect them from the ways of the world? Because it is out there. And it's more out there than when we were kids. It's harder. It is so hard to protect. And we've got to be intentional. We've got to be vigilant. Again, not locking them in a room, but also not sticking our head in the sand either.
Good point. So, hey, guys, you know, we're all in this together, all right? And we're also all trying to live in this world together. Mm. And so we're all being fed a lot of the same stuff. So we're not out there on an island. We're trying to function well. But if you need help with this in your home, or you're having some questions or some confusion yourself as a parent, please reach out to us, okay? Mm-hmm. This is something that Linda and I work on and talk about and try to coach and counsel on all the time. So please reach out. You can, our phone number is 812-576-7625. Check out some of our writings that we have and our other shows that we have going on. You can go to our website at rocksolidfamilies.org. But guys, you know, at the end of the day, we are called to raise our kids up to be that next generation. And we can see where we generations before us have failed, and we have areas that we're failing in. And oftentimes when the generation in front of us fails, it's the next generation that's paying the price.
By the way, just one last disclaimer. If this subject rears real pain for you, and there's wounds that have not healed for you, please, please get the help for you, because ignoring the conversation and, and putting your head in the sand because it brings up emotional pain for you only kicks that can down the road to the next generation, because that is going to be what transfers this fear or this hatred or anger toward men or women or whatever. And so please, please do your own work so that you can be the healthiest version for your children.
All right. So thanks again for listening to Rock Solid Families Podcast, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home.